From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, November 2nd. Coming up, we'll learn why it's helpful to look back on the 1990s and 1970s when discussing the graduated income tax amendment on this year's ballot. That story from Hannah Meisel is just ahead. But first, these headlines. Illinois is one of 32 states where mailed ballots can be processed in advance of Election Day. But as Mary Hansen reports, there could still be delays in calling winners for many races.
Once polls close on Tuesday, ballots processed before Election Day can immediately be counted. So election night results will include nearly 2 million mailed ballots that voters have already returned. But local authorities will continue to accept and count ballots postmarked by Tuesday and arriving any time in the following 2 weeks. Here's Illinois State Board of Elections spokesperson Matt Dietrich.
If a county has 10, 20, 30,000 vote-by-mail ballots still potentially coming in after Election Day, you could see leads changing as those ballots trickle in.
Those ballots could determine the outcome of the constitutional amendment to change Illinois' income tax system or affect who wins in tight legislative or countywide races. I'm Mary Hansen.
The Illinois Department of Public Health reported nearly 15,000 new cases of COVID-19 between Saturday and Sunday. The state also reported 81 additional deaths from the virus. Nearly 9,800 people in Illinois have died from COVID-19. Governor J.B. Pritzker also announced yesterday that COVID-19 mitigation measures would take effect beginning Wednesday in Region 2, which includes Bloomington, Peoria, and the Quad Cities. Mitigation measures take effect today in Region 6, which includes East Central Illinois. Those measures include banning indoor service at bars and restaurants, curfews on outdoor service, and limiting gatherings to 25 people or 25% of room capacity. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District reported 168 new cases of COVID-19 between Saturday and Sunday. There are 527 active COVID-19 cases in the county, including 7 people who are hospitalized with the virus. The death toll in Champaign County stands at 28. With election season coming to a close, many Illinois students are casting their ballots for the first time. For 217 Today, Olivia Butts reports.
With the coronavirus pandemic, students have taken to different forms of voting, some choosing to vote by mail and others voting early. But for some, the process has been challenging as a first-time voter. Niani Scott, a senior, spoke to me about the process of getting her mail-in ballot while she's at home in Texas.
It was very difficult for me to find the right absentee ballot link. Everything tried to take me through like weird processes, like I needed to send something to receive a ballot. But it ended up, I just applied for the ballot online and then it was sent to me. And I had to send the ballot back to Chicago instead of being able to put the ballot in a drop box in Texas where I currently am, which makes the process seem unprecedented for me. Although I have tracking, it just doesn't seem certain.
Malak Yaya, a junior in Illinois, seems confident in her voting plan. She plans on going to the polling location at the Argonne campus and with precautions considers it a safe in-person option. However, her feelings about voting have changed throughout the election cycle.
At first I wasn't going to vote, but then I was like, okay, I think I just should vote because the more I see like Trump on the news, like the more frustrated I get. So I'm like, I don't personally think that every vote counts, but I was like, I might as well do that because you don't just vote for like the president, you're also voting for like a bunch of other things that will like affect the community. I was like looking through the different things like that you have to vote on, and I would want to vote for like the more local government because that is important to me.
With Election Day coming up on Tuesday, many students are lining up to vote in person at a campus location. You can find out more about polling locations and getting registered to vote at sse.illinois.edu/IlliniVote. For 217 Today, I'm Olivia Butts.
Still to come, how the history of the income tax in Illinois affects the graduated income tax measure on this year's ballot. That's next on 217 Today.
This election night, you can count on WILL bringing you election results and reactions as they happen, including special live national coverage from NPR, along with local and state coverage from Illinois Newsroom. I'm Steve Moore. Join me and 21st host Brian Mackey as we hear the latest from journalists set up around the state on key races and ballot referendums. Special election night coverage begins at 6 p.m. Tuesday, November 3rd, here on AM 580, FM 90.9, and streaming online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. In the dueling campaigns for and against Governor J.B. Pritzker's push for a so-called fair tax are the echoes of past attempts at tax reform in Illinois. As Hannah Meisel reports, it's helpful to look back at the 1990s and the 1970s for some lessons in failed tax changes.
The year was 1994. Democrat Don Clark Netsch, then the state's comptroller, was running against Republican Governor Jim Edgar.
We needed to do two things. One, make a much stronger commitment to public education. And second, we have to find a better way to pay for it.
That's Netsch 2 years before her death in 2013. Then, as now, Illinois was struggling to adequately fund its schools, and a top concern among Illinois voters was property tax relief. Netsch's so-called tax swap would have raised Illinois' individual income tax rate in exchange for property tax relief, because schools could then be funded primarily through state tax dollars, something Netsch said was a constitutional mandate. But the courts ruled the Constitution's school funding language was merely a suggestion and not ironclad. Enter the tax swap.
We needed to do it because we could pay for it out of a broader-based, fairer tax structure.
That word fair, sound familiar? It's central to Governor Pritzker's messaging on the graduated income tax proposal, which he dubbed the fair tax on the campaign trail. Here's University of Illinois political scientist David Merriman.
A lot of people feel that the school funding system is, you know, terribly, terribly unfair. And now I think a lot of people feel that the income distribution is terribly unfair.
Implicit in Pritzker's tax plan is the fact that income inequality in America has been growing in recent decades. In fact, many economists point to the 1970s as the decade in which economic growth in the U.S. began to slow and the income gap widened. Charlie Wheeler is a longtime State House observer and covered the 1970 Constitutional Convention as a reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. He says the framers of the Constitution could not have predicted the future.
Back in 1970, the gap between the bottom 10% and the top 10% was a heck of a lot smaller than it is now. And so there wasn't that same level of concern.
Wheeler also remembers some fatigue around the income tax issue by the time the convention rolled around. Just the year before, then-Governor Richard Ogilvie and Chicago Mayor Richard J. Daley struck a deal to implement a flat-rate state income tax. Wheeler said after the state Supreme Court upheld the 1969 flat tax, delegates wanted to move on to settling other elements of the Constitution.
The majority of the delegates, as I recall, decided, well, why don't we just embody what's already in law and not get into this whole income tax fight again.
UIC's Merriman says that as much as income inequality has increased in the last quarter century, so has distrust of state government.
And I think now there is even less trust, you know, which is kind of at war with the fairness idea, and that those things are put against each other.
In the 1994 campaign, Edgar and Republicans used distrust of Netsch's plan as a winning strategy. 26 years later, opponents to Pritzker's graduated income tax plan have nicknamed it the Tax Hike Amendment and are using Illinois' history of fiscal problems as evidence to not trust those behind it. Here's a campaign ad that's been playing nonstop on airwaves across Illinois in the last few weeks of election season.
I'm deeply concerned about the Tax Hike Amendment. They claim they're only going to increase taxes on the rich. But if their out-of-control spending tells us anything, they'll be back for more. I don't trust Springfield politicians to be fair to taxpayers. Do you?
Back in 1994, Edgar won re-election in a landslide. But 2 years later, a commission he appointed to study the interplay between school funding and property taxes proposed a plan strikingly similar to Netsch's tax swap. However, after passing the Illinois House, it was killed in the state Senate by a fellow Republican. I'm Hannah Meisel.
And finally, we should see plenty of sunshine today. Meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says to expect sunny skies with a high of 52 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Mary Hansen, Olivia Butts, and Hannah Meisel. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.